Agenda item 17, Mr. Briggs.
So we had concluded the staff presentation, if I remember correctly, and we're ready to go to public comment.
Okay. Mayor O'Malley, would you like to speak first? Or...
Right.
You let us know how you'd like to proceed. There's a number of people from the city.
Yeah. Why don't you mention the time approval?
What's that?
The time approval.
Okay.
15 for the city.
Okay. Go ahead.
So folks, everyone knows, board members and others, the city made a request for additional time, and the chair approved a total of 15 minutes for the city's combined presentation.
Mr. Chair, if I
may. Yes.
I know there's a number of members of the public who wanted to speak and submitted cards. Are you including that in the 15 minutes?
No. The 15
minutes. The city's.
Just the city's time. The other cards, are these are individual people.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Melissa Thorm. I'm from Downey Brand, and I am here speaking today on behalf of the city of Atascadero. I would like to thank you for letting us have the additional time to make an organized presentation to you today. I was retained after the comment period ended, and I was asked to send a letter to the board ahead of this board meeting so that we didn't blindside the board with new legal issues. That letter was rejected, so I'm here making the points for the record. And I do have copies of my presentation today. And the first thing I wanted to say was we don't believe that the late proposed changes directly address the legal issues that I'm going to raise today. So we think that the resolution before you today is essentially new, because what happened in 2008-2009 was never approved. It's not valid for state law purposes. So what you're doing today is adopting something that will then go through the approval process. And we don't believe that it's justified, because there's no findings of threats to water quality to justify this. There's no evidence of groundwater contamination specific findings for each of the areas where their septic systems located. And in fact, in the Atascadero area, you're going to hear the local water purveyor, who's the Atascadero Mutual Water Company, come and tell you there is no issue with septic systems in that area, and the underlying groundwater quality has not been adversely affected by on-site wastewater treatment systems. So there's really no justification. Also, this proposal proposes to regulate self-regenerating water softeners, and there's no evidence that's provided in the findings and evidence of salt-related groundwater problems. And there is an attempt to tie this to the recycled water policy that the State Board adopted, but there's nothing in that policy that implicates on-site wastewater treatment systems. And there's no justification for treating new systems more stringently than ones that are existing. Presumably, these newer systems have newer parts, more recent technology, and are less likely to be an imminent failure than existing systems. So the findings and evidence don't support that either. The regulations also fail to explain why you're doing this or only considering a 5-year conditional waiver. There's other things that could be considered. In fact, there's a general waste discharge requirements that's done for the stormwater systems, for industrial and construction stormwater, and for sanitary sewer overflows. There are general waste discharge requirements where someone just turns in a notice of intent to be covered by that program. And then you could cut out the middlemen of the cities and counties that are currently running these programs. Alternatively, you could have a conditional waiver where if a city or county is already running the septic system program and doing it adequately, that would be the conditional waiver, and you wouldn't have to pile on additional regulation onto the system. We believe that the resolution is inconsistent with state law. It has very detailed requirements and programs that must be implemented by local agencies, and such prescription is specifically prohibited by state law. Section 13360A prohibits orders of the State Board to specify design, location, type of construction, or particular manner in which compliance may be had. And there are several provisions of your order that do exactly that. There's a section on on-site system design, a section for design for alternative and engineered systems, a construction section, and site suitability. All of those things specify the particular manner of design, location, construction. So instead of attempting to usurp local zoning authority, the regional board should ensure that local authorities are given the flexibility to regulate these systems within their districts for the things that need to be regulated. And state law in Section 13282 assumed that the state water board and not the individual water boards would adopt the regulations for the regulation and operation and permitting of on-site wastewater treatment systems. The state board is in the process of doing that, and they haven't done it yet. So we think that the regional board jumping ahead of them is premature and inconsistent with state law. It also fails to conduct the required burden and benefit analysis under sections 13225 and 13267 of the Water Code that require the regional board to analyze in writing the burden, including costs of any monitoring reports, and determine that the burden has a reasonable relationship to the need for the reports. We were unable to find that analysis in the proposed regulations. We believe that the proposed regulation fails to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. Basin plans are generally exempt from the Administrative Procedures Act, but there are requirements that must be met, including the standards of necessity, authority, clarity, consistency, reference, and non-duplication, and those come in through Government Code 11353B5. We think that for the reasons given before, there's a lack of findings stating the necessity and authority for these regulations. It lacks clarity. There are numerous undefined terms in this basin plan regulation, including definitions of expansion area, high density area, and urbanizing area. Without these definitions, it's impossible to determine how these terms apply to a particular area. Furthermore, these rules are unclear. Do they cover composting systems? Do they cover tertiary septic systems? This clarity must be addressed before a final resolution is adopted. It also lacks consistency with the laws I discussed previously and contains unnecessary requirements. For example, in provision 8D1C, prohibitions, there's a moratorium in your basin plan amendment that said that the regulations wouldn't that the regulation is not effect, or the regulations aren't effective until OAL, and the moratorium put in place would be effective through that time period. But because the regulations won't be in effect until the Office of Administrative Law approves it, there's no way that you can mandate a moratorium in the interim period. The proposed regulations impose an unfunded state mandate. These requirements are not required by federal law and constitute unfunded state mandates. There have been numerous state mandate commissions determinations recently, particularly in the stormwater arena, that hold this, where there is a new program or create a higher level of service over previously required level of service that impose additional costs and implicate an unfunded state mandate. Federal law doesn't regulate groundwater or discharges to land. Therefore, these are state-only requirements and implicate state mandates. And I would also like you to recall that when you were first looking at these requirements in 2008, we were in a much different economic climate than we are today. And so where cities may have had money or counties had more money to implement these kind of programs, that money is not available today. The final point is CEQA requirements have not been met. CEQA is integral to agency decision-making, and the regional board is relying on a several-year-old CEQA analysis. And that earlier analysis was never approved. For example, there's now new greenhouse gas emissions guidelines in CEQA guidelines that were not around when you did this the last time, and so you haven't considered the implications of that. You also failed to adequately support the conclusions of no significant or potentially significant effects because there's no or limited evidence about the conclusions that were reached, and there's numerous case law out there about the need to do that. It doesn't address any of the potential effects on the environment resulting from the adoption of the currently proposed resolution. You didn't consider other alternatives, and it could require the construction of sewer systems or other advanced treatment technologies and these modified actions were not considered. For example, with your self-regenerating water softener requirement, people might have to move to a canister form of water softener, and what are the environmental impacts of forcing a large number of people to do that? It'll have implications for the local publicly owned treatment works. So in light of these issues, the draft substitute environmental document must be revised and recirculated to address the significant changes made to the amendment, significant new information, and other feasible alternatives. And because you deferred action on this for several years, you should update and allow additional public comment on a new CEQA document. In conclusion, on behalf of the City of Atascadero, we thank the Regional Board in advance for its serious consideration of these comments and hope that you will make substantial modifications to the proposed resolution. The City would be happy to help with those modifications to make this program more workable and cost-effective. I have copies of my presentation and request that the letter that we sent to the Regional Board, which outlines these points just in greater detail, be placed in the record. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. You have about 5 minutes left in the City's presentation.
I just have a few. My name is Russ Thompson, Public Works Director for the City of Atascadero, and I have just a few slides to go through.
We stop the clock while you get booted up here.
All right, thank you. Well, first of all, I'll be brief, and in reference to Sorrell's changes that were made earlier today, we think certainly that helps and moves in the right direction. We still have a number of concerns with the actual implementation of this plan. First of all, one of the basic concerns that we think differentiates Atascadero from other areas of the regional board's jurisdiction is in our community, we do not have any areas of concern or cease and desist areas, and really no problem septic system areas. We average about 15 replacement permits per year within our jurisdiction for a system of over 5,000 septic systems. That would relate to about a 0.3% failure rate in any given year. Which is extremely low, and as comparing that to the San Lorenzo slide that you saw this morning, in an area where there was a significant problem, failure rates were 15 or 20%, I believe that initially on that slide. So 10 to 15 permits per year, we just don't have a septic system problem in Atascadero. The Mutual Water Company, I think you'll hear from John Neal later, is on record in previous correspondence to the board that there aren't any water quality problems with respect to septic systems. We agree. In areas of your jurisdiction, Los Osos, portions of Santa Cruz County, certainly the San Lorenzo Valley, all those areas probably do need this level of regulation. For our community, we just don't. This is an additional level of regulation that really shouldn't apply to our community. What these proposed regulations mean to us is currently we have about 15,000, a little over 15,000 acres of developable land within the city limits. Of that, about 3,300 is planned to be on sewer. So this, in our community, there is over almost 12,000 acres of property that will be served by septic systems, is being served by septic systems, and will be. Like I said, that's over 5,000 existing systems. To build out per our general plan, we're probably looking at an addition of maybe 1,250 septic systems between now and 2035. To develop a monitoring management plan for 11 or 12,000 acres of property and all the little micro groundwater areas that may be in that area is a daunting task, and it's a financial burden that quite frankly, we just cannot implement. Really, the problem is the costs of this plan are in the details of it. Where, like, this slide is right out of the proposed amendment, where it talks about shall investigate and mitigate. We understand that Sorrell changed that to should, but I think what I heard was that's only should if you would then be in charge of, if we don't execute an MOU, it would go to should, so that the state may not have to implement this on-site wastewater management plan, whereas if we do implement or move forward with an MOU, it will remain shall. And so there's certainly a number of cost implications to us. I mean, the city right now is facing in the coming budget year a $1.5 million deficit to our budget. And that's not, as we project that into the future, it's not going to get better anytime soon. We simply don't have the staff, we don't have the budget available to implement this type of program. Absolutely don't have it. Something else would have to come off of what we do, parks, fire protection, police protection. We have to make cuts to solve a problem that we don't feel exists in our community. I think part of our frustration is the funding issues in here. We don't feel like the financial impacts of this. Today is a different world than it was in 2004 or 2008 when this started. Today is a different day. Right out of the report, one of the questions was how will on-site maintenance districts be funded? And what happens as far as if we had to form an assessment district to implement this program? And in the response would be funding mechanisms are not addressed in the proposed basin plan amendment. We just don't see how that can possibly be a reasonable plan. Okay. Wrap this up. Like Melissa said, I think we feel there's a lack of data documenting these issues. We've done studies in the Salinas River proving that our wastewater treatment plant doesn't impact the water company's wells, so we are being good stewards of water quality in our area. And so today we're asking you to delay this approval. We don't think it's ready yet. I think it's reasonable to ask that the fiscal impacts be studied and to not try to create this shotgun approach that applies to everybody in the regional board where there's many areas that don't need this level of regulation.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
May I ask?
Yes.
Before you leave, Russ. Just a couple questions. You mentioned the wells, the Mutual Water Company wells, don't show any impacts from septic systems. Do you know what the distance is between those wells and septic systems?
The report that I referenced is we did a impact for the wastewater treatment plant and the water company's well 2A. And I think the reason I brought that up is that we have a treatment plant that percolates 2.5 million gallons a day ultimately into the...
Right, I was asking about septic systems, though.
Not specifically. We have not studied septic system issues, but we feel like the study of the wastewater treatment plant and all of those percolating into the river sands is a more relevant problem, and that study resulted in a finding that the wastewater plant did not impact their downstream wells.
Yeah.
So I guess to answer your question, I know where you're going with that. I'm saying that wastewater plant is a much bigger threat to those downstream wells than septic systems 3 or 4 miles away on the west side.
Right. And part of the point of my question is that a well that's 3 or 4 miles away from a septic system doesn't tell you anything about the septic system.
I would agree.
Okay. Also, for your, say, 500 failures or whatever you've had in the city, if that average per year is, I don't know if that's, you know, holds up over the years, but over the period of time we're talking about with the basin plan being in effect, that would be about 500 failures. Do you know if there's a pattern that those are concentrated in certain areas in the city?
The ones I've seen over the last few years are old systems, probably that were installed before the city was incorporated. You know, many of them have redwood septic tanks, are not the current technology that is implemented today. They're just old septic systems that need that. You know, they don't last forever, and they do need to be replaced from time to time.
So you don't know if there are, of the 500 or so failures, if they're concentrated in certain areas?
We don't believe they're concentrated. It's pretty much spread out over the entire area.
It seems like that would be a good thing to know in terms of permitting for
sure.
future systems, and
yep.
might be part of a good plan to have. And speaking of which, when people apply for a permit, I know you don't just rubber stamp those. You have criteria that they have to meet, correct?
Yes, we do.
And that criteria, is that based on knowledge of problems at each site where you approve those plans?
Yes, we require percolation tests. Many of those systems are engineered by civil engineers.
It's not based on characterizing problems in those areas, is it? It's preventative.
It's to meet the existing standards.
Including in the basin plan, right?
Yes.
So you have criteria that matches up with the basin plan standards.
I think that, yeah, our septic system requirements, I don't think they're exactly down the line per the basin plan, but we feel that they meet the same standards.
Yeah. My point is that a lot of your city's objections are that to this whole thing is that it's not substantiated, it's regulatory overkill because we haven't documented problems in each one of these areas where there's going to be a septic tank. My point is, I think you're doing the right thing by similarly not requiring documented problems when you approve a septic system. You have criteria, and that's the right thing to do, and that's what we're doing here.
What generally is the depth to groundwater in these areas where you have potentially, it's the 11,000 acres?
Right.
Okay.
It's I don't know if you're familiar with the terrain of Atascadero, but it's very hilly.
Well, only driving through. So yeah. Other than that, I haven't spent any time there.
The terrain in Atascadero is highly varied. We have very steep, rocky hillsides, some of those bedrock covered in clay where there is no groundwater. Most of the groundwater, as evidenced, I think, and the water company can verify this, groundwater production for municipal use is the Salinas River. And so pretty much the majority of town has very shallow bedrock, very clay soils, and there is no usable groundwater. There's areas of perched groundwater. So it's hard for me to, you know, define it in any one particular area. But I wouldn't say that we're characterized by, you know, shallow groundwater. I mean, that's a pretty rare occurrence for the vast majority of our town.
So the groundwater production wells are close to the river?
They're in the river.
They're in the river. Okay.
I've got to ask a follow-up question. Do you have any idea how many individual domestic wells there are in the city of Atascadero?
I don't. John Neal may have a better idea from the water company.
Aren't there quite a few?
I wouldn't say there's quite a few. I think it's pretty limited, but I think he'll have a good answer for that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I will have responses to the legal comments, but do you want me to do them now or at the end?
I want you to do it at the end.
Okay.
Because there may be other things that you can comment on. Mayor O'Malley, you ran out of, use your 15 minutes, but I'd like to afford you an opportunity to address us. I'd give you 3 minutes, like anyone else, unless you want to cede that to one of your other...
Well, I think we have a number of members of the public, and I think especially the water company, which is a separate...
That's separate. That's a separate card. But for you...
For me, 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
And Chairman Young and board members, thank you for your time. And I do want to offer my condolences to Mr. Briggs and my congratulations to Carol Hewitt for her retirement. I understand why you are so tired losing her. She's a great asset.
I see the bags under the eyes.
Yes, I understand. I think as we've talked, we believe in ecological and economic sustainability, and I don't think you can separate the two. You have limited resources. We have limited resources. We've put our focus on things that we think have the biggest bang for the buck, like FOG, fats, oils, and grease. We have a great program working with restaurants to make sure they are not producing problems for our water systems, and we think that has got some benefit. On the other hand, looking at septic systems, yes, we have over 5,000 in our community. 0.3% have ever had a problem, and this is an average number over a long history of our city and even since we became a colony. And we have good records with the water company. And again, it's a little confusing, the fact that we have a separate water company from the city. It was part of our founder's design, and I think it's good to hear from them. And they have records going back on their well systems. And private property owners have to have their permission to get wells. So that's why we have pretty good records of that. And so that we will defer. But I think our concern is with no evidence of contamination at the water source, and with our enforcement policy and seeing the failures that we have had, we have a pretty good idea that this is just not an economic place for us to put in any different effort than we currently have. And having sat in your spot for a while, I remember the discussion we'd have on definition of terms. I remember with Mr. Briggs, when on the stormwater management problem, debating pre-development versus pre-project. Sometimes staff use terms interchangeably. And from some perspectives, the language doesn't make a difference. But on the other hand, it can make a big difference with cities and municipalities and other entities. That's why it's so important to work together on some of the language. I'm a little disappointed. I don't think we really have. I know we've supplied pages of input on this particular issue over the years, and I don't think any of that's really been incorporated. And I just encourage you, it's unfortunate we can't get the feedback from the State Water Board as we've asked for. I think being able to work together with all of the entities that are involved on a topic, it certainly would be beneficial. So I'm hoping that in the future staff really could work with our staff, especially the engineering. We have actually a couple of former employees from the water staff that work with us, and I think their insights would be most beneficial. With that, I will just thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good to see you, too. John Neal.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to my comments, or for you to listen to my comments today. I'm John Neal. I'm the general manager of the Atascadero Mutual Water Company. Atascadero Mutual serves the entire city of Atascadero and some of the unincorporated areas around the perimeter of the city. The water that we supply the community comes from 19 wells that are adjacent to the Salinas River. These wells both tap into the Salinas River underflow and the percolating groundwater of the Atascadero Basin. We sample that water regularly in conformance with the Department of Public Health requirements. We consistently come up with levels of nitrates that are far below the maximum contaminant levels required by the Department of Public Health. In fact, they're about 7 times lower for nitrates than the public health standards. These wells, the question came up about septic systems. The well that Russ Thompson referred to, our well 2A, has septic systems within about 300 feet of that well, and it's all around the well. Most of our well field has septic systems, or the area of the city that's adjacent to it is served by septic systems, and the distance varies probably 400 to 600 feet average. There was a question about depth of groundwater. Depending on the rainfall, depth of groundwater this time of year is about 14 feet at our wells. And again, we are pumping from both shallow alluvial flows and the percolating, and we're seeing low nitrate levels. We also don't see any increasing trends in nitrates from the years that we've been monitoring these systems. And we've been supplying the city with water for over 100 years. So we have a pretty good history of what's happening out there, and we just don't see the type of things that you would expect to see if there was an issue with septic systems. So with that, it appears that the way the county and the city has been managing septic systems in our area has been effective. And I don't know if there's really a need for a change of the regulations involving that. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Yeah, you said 14 feet depth to groundwater now. Is that May or is that, when is that?
That's today.
And today. What about in the winter, in January?
That's what it is today, and we just had good, you know, it was as shallow, depending on which well you're at, it was as shallow as 9 feet. But we are in the floodplain of the Salinas River, the 100-year floodplain. So our wells are slightly lower than a lot of the adjacent residents because they're constructed outside the floodplain.
When you say we are in the floodplain, you mean the water company is or the city of Atascadero?
The wells are.
All the wells are.
Yeah, they're in the 100-year floodplain.
All right. Now, what about is there potential drinking water in the areas below where individual septic tanks are scattered?
Well, pretty much adjacent to our well fields, the city, their on-site septic systems. Most of the city that's sewered is actually further inland from the river.
Okay, but my question is where the city has individual septic tanks, and I'm not talking about where the water company wells are. I'm talking about looking at the city of Atascadero and its jurisdiction, where you have unsewered areas with individual septic tanks. Is there potential drinking water at depth below those residences or properties?
We could get into a whole discussion about the way the basin's configured. We're on the westerly fringe of the Atascadero sub-basin, our well field. If you go further west, which is where the development starts to occur, you're actually outside the basin itself. You're getting into more of the fractured rock. In fact, we would like, ideally, our wells would prefer to have them further east because that's the deeper part of the basin. So we're sitting right on the edge. So as you move westerly from our well field or away from the Salinas River, the basin essentially disappears. And if, I don't know, you may be familiar with the area, Roger, if you know where Traffic Way is, that's about the edge of the basin.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask your question in a different way, I think I can get the answer for you.
Well, why don't you come up, Mayor? And I'm not sure if I'm getting an answer kind of to my question.
I think one of your questions is, of course, the water company has wells to get drinking water.
Right.
You're concerned about private wells or other wells that might.
That's what I asked earlier.
Yeah, and I'm not even asking about the other wells.
But I think
I'll answer that. That's
the mutual company's restrictions on private wells, I think, might be helpful.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about other wells. I'm talking about potential drinking water at depth below a lot of these on-site disposal systems.
Well, maybe I'll answer that question a different way. And in our service area, the water company holds the water rights of the entire service area. So there are domestic wells out there. I would say there's less than 100. Most of them are for irrigation purposes. Most people in our service area are connected to our system. In fact, before we give permission for somebody to drill a well in our service area, there's a couple conditions they need to meet. One of them is that they connect to our system. But there's very few private domestic water wells in our system. As far as groundwater levels outside of the area where I have wells that I'm monitoring, I can't answer that.
Okay. I don't think I'm not making myself clear, and I apologize for that, because I'm not focusing on water wells. I'm focusing on areas where there are septic tanks. There may not be any water wells around there.
Okay, but you're wanting to
know. I want to know what's going on at depth beneath those properties. Is there potential drinking water?
If there is, it would be a fractured rock type.
Future domestic water supply.
Yeah. If it would be, it would be, again, fractured rock percolating waters. It wouldn't be over a groundwater basin as I define it as a water purveyor.
Okay.
Which are sands and gravels, those type of things.
All right.
So there is there water there? Yes. How deep is it? I don't know. Could I use it for my purposes for a community water supply? Likely not, because we couldn't get the production out of it. It wouldn't be economically feasible.
How about for a small system, you know, 5 hookups?
Well, they couldn't do that in our service area.
Not in your service area, unless I'm... Am I not
That's the point.
Wait a minute. I thought anybody can drop a well under their property and get
rid of it. Not in Atascadero.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The water company has... You can drill all the wells you want in Atascadero. You just can't pump water out of them because you don't have the right to do it. In 1913, when E.G. Lewis purchased the ranch, the 24,000-acre ranch, he created the water company and deeded all the water rights of that ranch to the water company.
Okay.
So there are wells out there. They are out there under our permission, and they're out there under very specific conditions.
All right.
Does that help?
Now it helps.
Okay.
Now I understand. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. That's the wrinkle I was looking for in all of this. All right. Roberta Fonzi, and then Karen Stewart-Avant, Shauna Sullivan, Al Barrow, Lindy Owen.
Thank you, Chairman Young. I came here to speak about the fiscal impacts on those that live within Atascadero having these regulations, but I have changed my subject matter because I was given some new information, and this is that the State Water Board is to consider a new approach on septic systems, and they're going to begin rolling out a tiered system. And in contrast to your proposed regulations that you are putting on Atascadero or proposing to do so, it will place new burdens on all septic tank users. This is not a one-size-fits-all fashion. The state's board is looking at a tiered system that will give a tier zero for existing septic tank systems, and that automatically includes them all unless there are certain conditions, and these include that they are adjacent to surface water that is affected. They are affected or will affect groundwater or surface water to a degree that it causes human health issues, and the septic system must undergo a major repair to address the septic tank's structural integrity. What I read from this that was very interesting to me and is different than your approach is that this is very specific to problem areas, that what you're proposing for Atascadero and other areas within the county that are on septic systems is the system that goes throughout for all septic owners, for every type of soil, for every type of condition. We would think that it would be more economical and actually an easier thing to administer to look at the problem areas as the state is proposing to do. And so based upon the state's new policy, I'm requesting that you, at the very least, delay the implementation of your current plan, or better yet, set it aside and don't implement it. These new and stringent regulations that will be very expensive and possibly unnecessary and untimely based on these new state policies. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Karen Stewart-Avant.
Hello, thank you. And it's Sturdivant. I had to learn it when I married him. I appreciate your time and allowing me to come and speak with you today. And I actually did read through your basin plan, and wow. I really do appreciate the effort that your staff puts into protecting our water. And you guys really do care about this. And I understand that this is very, very important to you. And I really wish that... I wish that I had a staff that could put together a report that really, really focused on what happens to the cities and the citizens when each and every group implements their plans on the citizens and on the cities when their singularly focused ideas go into effect. Because every single one of these plans is going to affect somebody. For example, we have a city that has no water problem that's being forced to spend money to set up an elaborate system that isn't really necessary. And unfortunately, we have citizens that are already struggling through probably the most difficult economic times since the Great Depression, and they're being asked to spend money on financial expenditures that they will probably be unnecessary. And you know, and Sorrell did mention that perhaps there's been a misunderstanding about the necessity to have the septic tanks inspected. So I may be misspeaking here, and I never would want to do that. But if the septic tanks do need to be inspected more often, we could be looking at a grandmother who's living alone having to have her septic tank inspected on a semi-regular basis when it's unnecessary. That's $400. I mean, to a grandma, that's a lot of money, which should be medicine and food. And, you know, now our family, we have four daughters. We have our septic tank inspected every year and pumped every year because we are responsible citizens. There's a moral imperative to protect our environment. And so we have to take care of our septic tank. We believe in that. But this isn't a cookie-cutter situation. And nothing is a cookie-cutter situation. We all know that. And so we can't do cookie-cutter solutions. We need to take care of each situation individually. And so that's what I'm asking you as the board. I heard some really great questions. And it sounds like, you know, you're all understanding that we can't just do an across-the-board solution when there's specific situations, whether or not a leach field is going to be dug deeply or whether or not it's going to go across based on the size of the lot. We don't want to say absolutely no. It has to be, you know, over 2 acres. We need to be able to look at each situation based on what we're looking at. So I thank you for listening to me. Thank you for hearing me. And please make this work for each and every citizen.
Thank you for your comments. Shauna Sullivan?
Good afternoon. My name is Shauna Sullivan. I'm here representing myself and other property owners with properties in Shandon, San Miguel, Templeton, Atascadero, Paso, Los Osos, Cayucas, and unincorporated areas of the county. I participated in the hearings on this proposal in 2008, again 2009, attended some workshops, and during the hearings and during the workshops, I found that there was this effort to segregate the criteria from the implementation. And so when we want to talk about the criteria, we're told wait till the implementation. And now we're at the implementation and we're told we can't talk about the criteria. And I saw in the staff report a number of comments that was addressed in 2008, 2009. We're not addressing it now. I submit to you that you have to look at both the criteria as well as the implementation in adopting this. For one thing, this has been a phased piecemeal process. It's been going on since 2008, and there's been various hearings that have not addressed all of this in one fashion. The CEQA is antiquated. I submitted back in 2008, and I submitted again for this board today a copy of what I submitted back in 2008 regarding the CEQA violations in not proceeding properly under CEQA. I also submitted again today, for your record, a copy of what I submitted back in 2008 about the criteria and the improper attempts to usurp land use processes and impose unfunded mandates. I noticed that when Ms. Marks was talking about this, she said the State Water Resource Control Board required you to come back to address these issues with regard to 2008-2009 amendments. So it seems that those should be open to discussion today and should be before a public forum. Not only is the SRWCB telling you to come back and address those, but I also brought an action in court challenging these criteria amendments. And in that hearing, your attorneys contended and assured the court that these amendments were not final, would not be final until they went through OAL approval, and that they would be subject to further public review and testimony. The fact is these are not final. Those 2008-2009 need public review, and they should have public review, and they have not been adopted yet, and they cannot be adopted until you go through all the processes. Now, I know OAL approval is rather limited on a basin plan because you have your exemption. However, you still do have certain requirements that must be met, and there was the assurance, and the court relied on that assurance that he was denying the motion at that time without prejudice to rebringing it once you got through OAL approval on this criteria from 2008-2009. I'd also like to bring up the fact that it's unfunded mandate, and it's disingenuous to segregate these issues and not allow discussion of all these topics. And I'd like to incorporate by reference the comments that were made before me, particularly with the city of Tascadero.
Thank you for your comments. Al Barrow.
Thank you. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. Shauna also was a member of the Friends of the Moore Bay Estuary. I wanted to point out to you that she is an environmentalist at heart, and she served on that board. I would like to point out that in support of Tascadero and other complaints, that the State Organization of Counties has also complained about this, and they say the short summary of comments is by no means wrong glasses, all inclusive of the comments submitted to RCRC and individual counties. As such, we urge your serious consideration of these comments and recommendations as well. Again, CSAC would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and members of the board to discuss an alternative approach that is more flexible yet remains protective of local groundwater and public health. Sincerely, Kenneth Keane. That was written to Todd Thompson, director of the state's on-site water program, February 9, 2009. I just happened to run across it searching the web while I was listening to you. I also am a member of the CAWA, of the Association of California On-Site Water Association, and I worked with them since 2000, and they have a great deal of concern about this program too. And the reason that you're playing cowboy with this right now, which is what you're doing, because you're the only one, okay, that I know of in the 59 counties that's establishing their own program before the state, and that is that all of these organizations have the same concerns that this group has, the affordability, the practicality. And let's talk a little bit about wellhead treatment. The gentleman here must know that he can remove nitrogen and other things for 60 cents a thousand gallons. So you're not protecting us, you're creating an unnecessary burden on the ratepayers. It is unfair, and it's going to stop a lot of people from developing granny units, affordable housing. And I don't know if you know it or not, but it was just out yesterday. The county announced that the homeless rate now is about 50% children under 18 in this county. 2,000 kids that don't have a place to sleep at night that have to go to school. We have so much burden on our public services now that there's just not enough funding for everything. You can't be a cowboy. You have to really look at things like Section 13241, the Port of Cologne Act. It states in the letter from the city of Atascadero, you have to use the economic considerations and the need for affordable housing.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Barrow. Lindy Owen.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I've been very interested and involved with septic tanks and management and understanding them since I got involved with the wastewater project in Los Osos in 2000. And I've followed your opinions about on-site treatment. I have quite a concern that maybe there's a need to go back to school about it. At one point, with the cease and desist orders, there was it was being requested that property owners with those CDOs have to pump every 2 months, which would have destroyed the biology. A septic tank works on a biological system, and that's why it is actually has many benefits, because it can break down products that the waste treatment plants are adding chemicals to do. So when you look at the larger picture of a waste stream that we produce by treating wastewater in the two different methods that are proposed, you can do so much more damage by putting it into a wastewater treatment plant. The EPA has new information that came out last year supporting that if you are on septic tanks, you do not want to go to a collection system. There's a group called Small Flows that has amazing information about the benefits of septic tanks and good management. Sorrel Marks, during the hearings in Los Osos where we were accused of high nitrates, we argued constantly that they needed to be taken at the bottom of the soil column, not at the outlet of the septic tank. 70% of the treatment occurs there, but the nitrates are removed in the soil column, and that does depend on ideal situations. I believe Atascadero is managing their septic tanks quite well. I believe Los Osos is managing ours quite well. The nitrates, the accusation that they all come from a septic tank is not correct. They come in Morro Bay, they come from ag. How can that be? Morro Bay collects their sewage. Half of their sewage does not arrive for treatment now. Is that taking care of the quality of waters in the state of California? So I basically had a couple other points. You definitely need to look at the problem areas in Los Osos. That would be along the low-lying areas. In 1983, Mr. Briggs assumed that it would be okay to put a third more housing into Los Osos, at the same time telling us that we had an aquifer that was rising in nitrates and we had saltwater intrusion. That did not help our problem, and we've now gone forward with no septic management program. 8312, we thought we should have a septic management program. What good would that have done over all these years to see what kind of nitrates we had? We will never know because that was left aside. The cost of pumping the septic tanks is going up. The burdens of owning and operating a septic tank safely are already increasing. One of the problems with this county is there is no place to take the septage. That should be addressed pretty soon.
Thank you for your comments.
Last of all, could you wait until 885 goes through before you try to add any more regulations in this county? Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That concludes public comment.
Sir, I turned in a card.
Ah.
Jerry Clay. I turned it in right over here to this lady.
Okay.
I saw it. It's here somewhere. Come on up.
Come on up.
Thank you.
I don't.